And now to that false theory seized on by President Trump that then-Vice President Joe Biden used his position to get a Ukrainian prosecutor fired in order to protect his son. It's not true. Biden was openly part of a global effort to get the prosecutor fired, not because the Ukrainian prosecutor was investigating the company his son Hunter sat on the board of, but because the prosecutor wasn't investigating the company enough. But in President Trump's phone call to Ukraine's new president, he said, "Can you investigate the Bidens? There's a lot of talk that he stopped that prosecution." Again, not true. Biden, according to all reports at the time and investigations since, wanted a prosecution. In 2015, James Risen broke this story for the New York Times of Biden's trip to Ukraine and concerns then about how Biden's son Hunter's work might be seen. James Risen is now senior national security correspondent for The Intercept. And James, first your thoughts when you saw recently how your reporting was being interpreted.
Well, I just was kind of shocked that the Republicans had tried to twist and pervert what I wrote and I guess what other people have written since into, you know, this false attack on Biden. I mean, the original story that I wrote, you know, showed that Hunter Biden had exploited his family name, but that Joe Biden had gone to the Ukraine to send a message, an anti-corruption message, despite his son's involvement with the company.
As you say, when Joe Biden went to Ukraine, he was not trying to protect his son. It was the reverse. He was trying to get the prosecutor to look into the company that Hunter Biden was on the board of and the owner of that company. And your first sentence is just so interesting. It's very plain. When Vice President Joe Biden traveled to Ukraine on Sunday for a series of meetings with the country's leaders, one of the issues was to encourage a more aggressive fight against Ukraine's rampant corruption. Just stay there for a second. This was well-known, transparent, not secret. This was the vice president's fifth trip to Ukraine. This was what he was doing.
Right. It was a very public message from both the Obama administration and other Western governments and international institutions. Ukraine had just gone through a series of protests and the pro-Russian government had been ousted. The new government was attempting to become more pro-Western. The United States and its Western allies were trying to, bring it into the Western fold away from pressure that was being applied on it by Russia and the oligarchs.
Well, and one of those oligarchs owned this company, Burisma, that Hunter Biden served on the board of. And in your second sentence, you write, the credibility of the vice president's anti-corruption message may have been undermined by the association of his son, Hunter Biden, with one of Ukraine's largest natural gas companies, Burisma Holdings. Now, you know, just take us back a little bit, because Hunter joined that board in 2014, which was right around the time that British authorities froze the assets of the company. This was $23 million that was in British banks because the Brits felt that it was money that was laundered, that it belonged to the Ukrainian people.
Yeah, the British Serious Fraud Office was investigating Burisma and its owner and had frozen the assets of the company in British banks. But to continue their investigation of Burisma and of the owner, they needed documents from Ukraine in order to provide evidence against the company. But the Ukrainian Prosecutor General's office refused to cooperate, refused to provide any of the documentation that the British investigators needed. And because they lacked that documentation and that evidence, a British court overturned their freeze on the assets and unfroze the assets. And then as soon as they did, all the money that had been frozen left Britain and went to offshore banks in Cyprus.
Now, so it was right around this time that Hunter Biden, who was in something of a consulting company, joined the board. Now, he gave an interview to The New Yorker, and it's an extensive interview. And The New Yorker says that this new board, with members like the former president of Poland, board members were told that the company wanted transparency and they wanted to learn about good governance. Hunter says he brought in a lawyer to investigate the company. But it's also thought the company was using him and a former president of Poland to whitewash the company. What's the sense of it today?
You know, it's clear that Hunter Biden was exploiting his family name over his career, and this is one of the ways he's done that. I think it's fair to compare him to members of politically prominent families who exploit their family names for personal gain, you know, like Billy Carter or Neil Bush. And so, you know, I think the criticism of Hunter Biden getting involved in this is fair. I think it was politically awkward and kind of hypocritical for the Obama administration and for Joe Biden personally to send the message of anti-corruption at the time that his son was on the board.
Yeah.
But that's a very different story than saying Joe Biden went to the Ukraine to protect his son.
Yeah. Well, do we know what Joe Biden said to his son? I mean, Hunter told The New Yorker that he and his father never spoke about each other's business. And all his father said about him joining Burisma was, "I hope you know what you're doing." Do we know any more?
No, at the time that I wrote the story, he wouldn't talk to me. I tried to get Joe Biden to talk to me. Biden's press office, when he was vice president at the time, just said, you know, this has nothing to do with the vice president's work on Ukraine.
Yeah. Hunter Biden, you call him the black sheep of the family, say he will be a millstone around his father's neck. It's Shakespearean. The story here, the backstory here, when he was two, he and his brother Beau survived that terrible car crash that killed his mother and sister. Beau went on to become the Iraq War veteran, the shining star, Delaware's attorney general who had a future in politics but died in 2015 from brain cancer. Hunter, you know, took up one thing after another, didn't seem to work, fought addiction. He talks openly about the many times he's been in rehab. Discharged from the Navy Reserve after testing positive for cocaine use. He doesn't know. He says he doesn't know how it got in his system. Out of his marriage now, he and his brother's widow got together after his brother died. This has been, as you say, you know, a problem thread in the family. I mean, it's just astonishing that that thread gets pulled and we end here in an impeachment inquiry,
right.
You know.
Right.
Your thoughts on that, where we are now?
Well, you know, I have an older brother who, when I was young, my mother kept telling me to try to be more like my older brother. So I know a little bit about what that's like. I don't want to play psychiatrist here, but I'm sure that plays a role in this somewhere. And I just think, you know, this is a classic Washington story of a family member exploiting the famous name. You know, many politicians have had this kind of thing. But the difference here is that is a straightforward, classic Washington story, which is what I wrote. But what Trump and Giuliani and these people have tried to twist it into something much darker and much worse. And to do that, they've had to falsify the story. And they've you know, turned it around and said that that Biden went there to protect his son by having this prosecutor fired. And that's absolutely not true. The prosecutor had been refusing to cooperate with the British investigation of Burisma. And, you know, he'd also been refusing to crack down on other oligarchs and other companies that were corrupt. So what Trump has done has just tried to flip the story on its head in order to make it sound worse than it really was.
And by the way, do you feel, again, I'm talking to you as a reporter, do you feel that an impeachment inquiry would be warranted if you even take Joe Biden or Hunter Biden out of the picture? Just a president asking a foreign country to investigate a rival?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, to me, this is a continuation of the Trump-Russia story. You know, in 2016, Trump was investigated for perhaps cooperating with Russia in trying to damage Hillary Clinton and win the election. This time, we have much more direct evidence. His own phone calls and a whistleblower complaint showing that he actually got on the phone with a foreign leader and asked him to help him destroy his political enemy.
That's James Risen, senior national security correspondent for The Intercept. We'll link you to all of his reporting starting back in 2015 on this story at herenow.org. James, thanks so much.
Thank you.